Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Spoiler Alert for Avengers Infinity War. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Thanos Reigns.
Carlos Romero.
Yo.
Brian Mungioma.
It's been 10 years, man. 10 years.
All right, and we got some special guests tonight. First up, one of the founders of Throwdown, Mr. Riku-san, one, the only one.
I'm not feeling too good, Mr. Polanco. I'm not feeling too good. What's good, y'all? I'm in this bitch.
All right, and we got Miss Dana Abercrombie from the WrestleCast and the Co-op. What's going on?
I don't want to go, Mr. Stark.
All right, in case you didn't know from the title, this is the spoiler alert for Avengers, so we don't want to hear any shit, okay? You spoiled the movie for me. It's in the titles. Literally up there, down there, wherever it's in the title. We're spoiling the shit out of this movie, man. I'm going to switch up the basic thing of spoiler. Usually we start with our little, like, what do we think? And then we get into the deep discussion. Let's just get into deep discussion now, man. Fuck that shit. You know, we may be joined by Brett or any of the other guys. Who knows? We'll see, but whatever. I'm going to jump into it, man. I want to talk about Thanos, man. What did you guys think about what is probably the best MCU villain by default now?
And, other than Loki and what's his face from Black Panther?
Killmonger.
Got killed.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, just jump in. You know, I'm not going to be calling on you guys to talk. Just go ahead. Actually, Dana, why don't you start us off? What do you think about Thanos, Mr. Josh Brolin?
Sorry. See, I'm choking up already.
Yeah, right? It's real.
I thought that it was the best villain in the MCU for the simple fact that for me, he wasn't a villain. For the first time we got someone, and maybe this is because he, you know, he's been spoken about for the previous, 18 other movies in 10 years, we've been hearing that name. But with this movie, I think that it was the most well-rounded character. And by them removing, you know, from the comic, the whole thing with death, it made him more relatable. He was on a mission for his own personal goal. It wasn't out to please anyone. It was just for him because he strongly believed in you know, this balance. And it was very similar to Eric Killmonger in Black Panther. So that alone was just amazing and how it played out. And we finally got the backstory and the relationship between him and Gamora. And you saw, you know, the pain that he went through with executing out his plan. He knew that, you know, this was not going to be easy for anyone, especially for him. He would have to make sacrifices that he may not necessarily wanted to do, but because he felt that he was at a higher purpose, it worked. And so overall, this was just round of applause. Phenomenal.
Yeah, what about the rest of you guys? What do you think of Thanos' portrayal?
I agree. I think they did a really good job of kind of leveling him out. And you know, one of the, you know, the best things about, you know, making really truly effective villains in, you know, film and stuff like that is to give them that air of believability where you can somewhat agree with what they're saying, other than having them kind of cackly like villains, you know, destroying everything, you know, like, you know, in a way the original Thanos. But his goal was somewhat the same, except he wasn't trying to impress death or anything like that. You know, the good old snap the finger thing. That, you know, it's like the one thing about the whole film is that it kept to a lot of the key points and then also, you know, paid homage to certain things from the comics, which is great.
Exactly.
Yeah,
go ahead.
This movie, like, not a lot of MCU movies does this. Maybe one of them in Avengers, but this was pretty much based on the villain. Like, this is Thanos' movie more than anything.
Yeah, he's the protagonist.
He's the main focus, low key, you know. but yeah, like, you understand his motivation. You kind of sympathize him a little bit. I know a lot of people who sympathize with him more than I did, but that's what makes a great villain. People are conflicted of his ideals, and but people understand where he's coming from. That's the most important thing. If someone has a motivation to do something And it doesn't necessarily have to be the good guy. It's captivating to watch on the big screen. And man, every scene that he was in to start with, freaking, he beats up the fucking Hulk to a pulp, man.
Yeah, man.
Fuck. It's like, yo, this is like who? I mean, whenever we have discussions about of Marvel characters, it's like, yo, freaking Hulk, man. It's like Hulk versus this. Who's stronger? Who's the strongest character? It's like Hulk is one of the top tier, you know, strong guys in Marvel. But man, Thanos just beat the shit out of him like it was nothing, man. Inside a fucking ship, and it just went on. And it's man, I got to give it up to the Russo brothers, man, because they had a huge task in their hands and they just delivered. Like they delivered on almost everything with this movie.
Also, Hulk actually did get beat up by Thanos before as well.
You know what sucks about that? I reached to the movies late, so I missed that fucking fight.
Oh yeah, damn. It wasn't. You know, the thing is, it wasn't actually a very long fight, to be honest.
Yeah, I can tell because by the time I got there, the introduction was starting. You know, I saw the fucking Infinity War. I'm like, yeah, I didn't miss anything. It's like, nigga, you just missed a whole badass fight. Really? What the damn?
Yeah, you missed. So you just Loki and Heimdall.
Yeah,
yeah. You just saw Loki and Heimdall happen, right?
I didn't see that. I didn't see that either.
Oh.
But my thoughts on Thanos. It is Thanos, right? Not Thanos.
I think they say it. How do they pronounce it in movies? Like fat. I don't know. I think they say Thanos. Yeah, say it however you want. Thanos. Man. It doesn't matter. Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, he's really, really good. I agree with what you guys are saying. The best ones are the ones where you can see where they're coming from, which is why so many people like Killmonger, and you know Loki is just Loki. But I just like the fact that he, you know, went around and got shit done, you know, for the entire goddamn 2.5 hours this movie played. He was making moves. And, you know, if you like I said, if you are a comic book reader, which I need to talk to you guys about that because I kind of want to read those comics now. If you are a comic book reader, you knew what was going to happen. But like everybody else that didn't really know anything about Thanos, they really didn't see this shit coming.
Yeah, you know? Like we pretty much, like the thing is that like it's so, it would have been so easy to ruin the ending to that movie. We just need to post one shot at the end of the book where every single superhero is dead, and then that's it. And we even said it like when they first announced it. It's like, oh shit, they're gonna do it. You know, they're not gonna put out to set up this crazy villain throughout like a bunch of different movies and not have it end the way it did end it, you know?
Yeah, because at first when I saw that they were doing Thanos, I was kind of, because I kind of knew you know, Thanos and everything that happened, or majority of the stuff that happened in the comics, so I kind of was a little bit ready for what ended up happening, but I was still a little afraid that they weren't going to go and do it because of how, well, even though it wasn't Marvel, but how Apocalypse was handled in X-Men. You know, I didn't think that any movie company would take it to that length that they did. And they did. And then on top of the fact that how they ended the movie, just like that, you know, where it's just, you just see Thanos. And then on top of the fact that when you reach the freaking, after the ending credits, when they usually say, Avengers will return, or Captain America will return. They just ended with Thanos will return. Yeah. And you know when they said that, I heard a fat lady behind me. She was like, "What you mean he gonna return? He don't kill nobody." I was like, "What the fuck?" I started laughing my ass off. That lady was pissed.
By the way, full disclosure, because Dana and I went to go see a screening, we didn't see that shit. We didn't see that at all.
And I'm very grateful that we didn't see it because I was already a mess. And if I would have seen that, I would have gotten, you know, just, it would have been worse.
Yeah. So that makes the movie even better. I didn't know that, like, because again, I didn't learn about that until like maybe yesterday when Dana told me, like, wait, that's the end? Shit. You know?
Yeah. That's after the thing. It just, after all the credits are done, it just says Thanos will return.
That's fucking amazing, man. Anyway, I want to move over to Mr. Chris, who's joining us. Chris, what do you think of Thanos, man, the way he was depicted in the movie?
Oh, I think he was fantastic, man, because I remember the comic, right? His motivations were very clear then, but very hokey, because he worshipped death, and he basically loved death, right? Mm-hmm. And that was the only reason he was doing anything. In here, he is actually more sympathetic. Like, they did it the perfect villain way. He doesn't know he's the bad guy. He thinks he's being merciful and actually doing the right thing. Yeah. So justified in killing half of life so that the other half can survive and have the resources they need to live. That's his whole motivation for doing everything. Like, he actually loves Gamora. Like, you see that. When he had to sacrifice her for the Soul Stone, he got emotional. Like, those are things that were never in the comic. I thought those were very well done. So it was amazing. And I really think he had the advantage over Hulk, because didn't he already have the Power Stone?
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, he already did.
That's why.
Yeah, so yeah, he's beat the ever-loving crap out of him.
Like, yep.
Yeah, like, oh, we got a Hulk. It's like, really, hold my beer.
Yeah.
Fuck
right.
His ass up.
You know, and
fuck.
And just for those who don't know the comic, Hulk took the place of Silver Surfer, because it was Silver Surfer that smashed into Doctor Strange's house to tell him that Thanos was coming.
Yeah.
And it was the Hulk now, because they don't have access to that. But soon,
and then setting up some random silver guy, you know.
Right. Right. Exactly. So that was neat that they were able to do those little nods to the comic, you know. And I forgot where when Thanos snapped his fingers in the book, he was just in his like weird asteroid palace.
Yeah.
And you know, but there he was in the middle of battle. I mean, Thor freaking stabbed him. You know, that was pretty epic. Thor coming in at the end of that movie was like amazing.
That was nuts. Yeah,
I love when Banner saw him and he's like, "Oh, you guys are all screwed now." Like, I was laughing. I started cracking up. It was funny.
Yeah.
Although I didn't like the Infinity War trailer was a lot of bait and switch, man.
Oh yeah,
the running scene. Yeah, the running scene had Hulk in it. I'm like, he didn't turn to the Hulk for the rest of the movie, man. Yeah. Come on. He was wearing the Hulkbuster armor. That
Yo,
was cool.
You know why though? Because Hulk, he's scared. He got his ass beat.
Yeah, I told Kristen that. It's like, why wouldn't he turn to the Hulk? I'm like, because the Hulk is a little bitch right now. He got beat up.
Yo. He's around 4 years old, right? Because remember in Ragnarok.
Yeah, that's right.
For about 2 years. So mentally they said he was like on a 4-year-old. So that alone, and then getting your behind almost killed by Thanos, I don't blame him for not wanting to come out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. I think about that. He's kind of like a toddler, basically. So he would be scared. Because think about it like this. Thor got his ever-loving ass whipped, and he was like, fuck that. I'm going after Thanos again. You know?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, but he's a seasoned warrior. Hulk is not. He just beats up shit because he's stronger than everybody. And Thanos, he took him to school.
I was confused why Hulk didn't come out, because I didn't see that shit. I was like, why is Hulk not coming out?
And he got his ass beat in 2 seconds.
I didn't know it. What I thought they were trying to do was trying to save Hulk for the next movie. I was like, oh, they're probably
That's kind of what they're doing.
They did it very cleverly.
Yeah, yeah. Riku, yeah. Remember what Hulk did to Loki? That's what Thanos did to Hulk.
Really? You know? Like the exact same?
No, not the exact same thing, but basically just as humiliating, you know?
Oh, okay.
He beat his motherfucking ass.
I'm going to see it again on Friday, so I can't wait to see that part.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Brian, get in here, man. Thoughts on Thanos?
Fantastic villain. Like, this is how you do a villain. Like, my biggest fear of this film was that Thanos was going to be depowered and not that great. Because, as you guys know, the Marvel films, they don't have good villains. Like, they probably have, like, 4 or 5 out of, like, 20 movies that are good. And to me, that was like, okay, this is probably going to be a not good villain, because again, probably why he's just taxed against it. But no, they wrote him well. Josh Brolin did a fantastic performance. His voice acting was on point. They gave him an amazing story. Like, as you said, you guys just felt sorry for him, and you understood like where he came from, and you were kind of like on his side most of the time. Like, there were times when I was like, you know what, like, even though that he killed like half of Gamora's people, he made a good point. Like, they now don't have to fear poverty. They live in good wealth. They live in good health, you know? It is good. And even when he said that, like, when he's going to kill, like, half the universe, it's like, okay, it's going to be random, you know? It's not going to be like the rich and poor alike will suffer the same. It's like, that is fair. Like, when you start to sympathize with a villain, that's when you know that the villain is, like, really good. But yeah. like, hats off to the writers there, because that was fantastic.
Yeah, I'm not even gonna lie. I was rooting for Thanos at the end. I'm like, fuck that. I want him to win. You know, I want him to win.
Well, you know he does.
Yeah. By the way,
yeah, I was like,
go ahead.
Like after he took Hulk to school, I was like, like Thanos, I like you and all, but Hulk's my boy, man. Like, you can't fuck him up like that. You know, like. So then the whole film, I was like, okay, Hulk will come back. Hulk will come back. And then when he didn't, I'm like, come on, Hulk, man. You're like, you know, you're coming back at some point. So now I'm even more hyped for the next film when Hulk does come back and probably like whoop the shit out of Thanos.
Yeah.
I certainly, it's going to happen.
Yeah. Zara's great is asking, did that eyeball rocket gave Thor actually work? Yeah, it did. It worked. You know, he had to get used to it, but it worked. By the way, that eyeball is the same one that Rocket talked about in the first Guardians of the Galaxy movie. Remember, he was like, I stole that guy's eyeball while he was sleeping.
That was fun.
That's hilarious.
That's awesome.
Also, fun little thing to know. James Gunn wrote all the Guardians of the Galaxy lines.
That makes perfect sense because
so that's why they don't sound off.
Yeah, but you notice, because they were the goofiest ones in there, so it kind of makes sense. I didn't know that. It's pretty cool information. All right, we'll go ahead, Rico.
Oh, I was talking about as far as their lines, characters from Guardians of the Galaxy. I can definitely see that because that one part when Mantis was like, what did she say? Kick names and take ass. And then Stark was just easy to look in Stark's face like, oh my God. That was great.
By the way, since we're talking about Thanos, I do want to touch on the whole relationship between him and Gamora, whatever. That was pretty interesting. You never really seen too much of that in these movies, especially with a villain, you know? So what would you guys think about the way that was whole played out? Because they even had, you know, they show you the backstory and all that, something you rarely see in these movies too. I thought that was really well done, you know? And I think it was kind of, in some ways, the center of the movie because it showed just how far Thanos is willing to go, you know?
Also, I mean, at the same time, is that they also realized that they had an in with Gamora there, you know, that you had a way, you learn through a lot of about Thanos, even in the Guardians of the Galaxy movie, up from her. You know, from the previous two Guardians of the Galaxy movies. So it only made sense that she was the in that got you to, you know, to understand a little bit more about Thanos.
Yeah, she's definitely a better in than Drax because obviously him and, you know, his whole goal in life is to kill Thanos, but they don't really have that, you know, intimacy going on there.
He's out there. Fury to try to kill Thanos, even like in the comic books, it's so bad it screws up a bunch of stuff for them too. Like there's one point where Thanos in the comics gave up, you know, he had already retired, you know, like he ends up in this movie, he's just like a farmer and Drax goes and tries to kill him. He's like, all right.
It's pretty interesting because we had another Guardians of the Galaxy member fuck it up for everybody. We'll talk about that later. Mr. Peter Quill, you know, like, bruh. But yeah, I really like that scene where, you know, by the way, they find fucking Red Skull. He's been hanging out on this planet the whole time. And Manny, your theory is that he's Death.
I think he might be. I think he might be taking the role of Death iconically. Because, like, when you first see him show up, when you first see it show up, you're like, oh, shit, it's Death. Is that what we're doing? Are we doing this because of this? Nope, it's not because of that at all. It's the Red Skull. And it also, by the way, this movie was written by the guys who wrote the first Avenger. So they managed to sneak that one in there, too.
Nice. And I like that because the whole time we're like, what happened to Red Skull?
What happened to Red Skull? He is also not being played by Hugo Weaving in this one. He's played by another guy who can kind of do an impression of him, but he didn't sound right. But that's what explains to me, like, I'm like, why is his face CG? Oh, because he is CG. It's not even Hugo Weaving.
Yeah, I was trying to guess who that was before.
It's like some comedian who can do really good impressions or something.
Yeah it was. No. Wasn't it the guy from The Walking Dead?
I don't know.
The guy, I'll look it up.
But apparently the guy can do really good impressions.
It wasn't Nolan North.
No.
But anyway, so yeah, I like that scene where, you know, they get to the precipice and like, yeah, you got to sacrifice something you love in order to, you know, to get the soul stone. And he starts crying. Gamora was like, oh, wow, this guy's being a bitch right now. You crying over that? Look at you, you fucking pussy. She failed to realize he was crying because he has to throw her ass off the cliff. You know, very powerful scene right there in something. Because think about it again. It was like an actor, a painted actor talking to a purple CG monster. But yeah, mm-hmm. you felt that emotion, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. They did a really good job of actually, you know, like he didn't feel like a cartoon like no. a lot of times. Like he felt genuine. Like he didn't feel very like they definitely spent a lot of money to make him look good.
Yeah, I'm gonna get on that a bit. Lot of
props. He's like over eight feet tall. There, I mean, he's a giant, and he looks really good.
Yeah, Dana, were you gonna say?
No, I was just gonna say that in that scene, it was kind of slightly funny because if you look at Red Skull, is like he knew the whole time that that Gamora was gonna be sacrificed, so he has like that weird sad but smirk on his face. So yeah. I thought they that really well at like slowly hinting at what was going to happen without fully saying anything until Gamora was the one who had to realize what he was going to do. But my other question was this. I thought that he was trapped there because he was like the protector of the Soul Stone. So now that the Soul Stone is in Thanos' possession, does that mean he's free?
It's a good question.
Well, he did disappear after everything was gone.
He did disappear, so he may show up again in the next movie. That's a good question. Mm-hmm. By the way, this is something I want to bring up too. So we're talking about that because I was talking to a friend of mine and he was like, oh man, I really love the way Thanos looked, the way, you know, his animations and all that. And I was thinking like, wow, that didn't even cross my mind. Like he was so well done. I didn't realize he was a freaking CG special effect, you know, because mm-hmm. let's just be honest. Most of these movies, you know, superhero movies have kind of shitty special effects. Mainly, like you said, they spend money on him.
They definitely spend money on him. Like there's, I mean, granted, you know, like you have obviously cartoony characters like Rocket, and even Rocket's getting better as the movies go on. Like he moves a little bit better than he did, and then you have Groot and stuff like that. So it definitely meant a lot to have these characters standing alongside, you know, real people. Granted, his minions didn't look as good.
Yeah, his minions, you're right, the Black Order, they didn't look that good. They looked like kind of standard, you know, CG monsters in movies.
I was impressed with the one, the psychic one, though.
Yeah.
I was impressed with him because I thought he had a lot of nice, you know, even though he didn't have a lot of development, he had a lot of nice characteristics. I really liked that he didn't even care to fly, like, fly. He just kind of flew with his hands behind his back and just kind of moved things around, you know, like nothing.
Yeah, I like that because he didn't move a lot, but he just did a lot of hand gestures and a lot of craziness would happen because of that.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty fun. I forget his name, Corvus Glaive, I think it is.
Also,
which one was that, Brian? You can correct me. I don't know.
There's something Maw. Squidward.
Oh. Something Maw.
They just said Squidward. Oh yeah.
So
it was Ebony Maw.
Ebony Maw.
Okay. I remember the credits. I'm looking this shit up right now.
Yeah, look it up, right? Because I thought that was Corvus Glaive, but I could be wrong. The Black Order is a relatively new, you know, like they're new characters in the comics. I know they've been around for like almost 10 years or something, but to me, they're new, you know?
Yeah, well, yeah, because when the Infinity Gauntlet and Thanos' Quest happened, it was only just Thanos. Yeah, he didn't have any minions.
Yeah, exactly.
But granted, he did have Gamora and what's her face? what's her name? His sister Nebula. He did have them.
Yeah, and he also had, as I call her, girl Thanos in there too, but they didn't
have. Oh, that's movie. Right. Yeah,
his daughter.
Well, that guy said a line that Mephisto had said in the comic.
Yeah,
when he's like, "Oh, I present to you," and some Mephisto said the same freaking thing in Infinity Gauntlet. So he was kind of like the filler for Mephisto.
Yeah, I'm noticing a pattern here. Chris, you're pointing this out, like the replacement characters, like Hulk kind of replaced the Silver Surfer. This guy replaced Mephisto.
Yeah.
Again, it's been almost 2 decades since I read that fucking story, so a little lost on the details. But I do remember, like, there was like a girl Thanos, like a female version of him. It was really weird, you know?
Well, that's his daughter. That's his daughter.
He created her.
Yeah, I remember he created a female version of himself.
Yeah. That's when death spurned him, and he just said, oh, I can do what I want.
I'll make my own woman.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to this other thing. Okay. This will be funny.
It was Ebony Maw.
Ebony Maw, okay.
So Ebony Maw was the psychic dude, Proxima Midnight.
She was the girl, female, right?
Yeah. Corvus Glaive was the guy with the, I guess, killed by Vision.
Yeah.
And then you have Cole Obsidian. Damn, the cool name.
Yeah, those were pretty badass names, man.
Why can't the guy that named this, like, name the Jaegers in, what's it called, Civil Rim 2?
Yeah.
God damn it.
Oh, man. All right, I'm going to move on to some fun stuff here. What were some of your favorite interactions in the movie? Because obviously we had characters from all these films coming together. So what were some of your favorite interactions?
Man, right off the bat, like Tony Stark and Doctor Strange playing off each other. Like when he goes to his house and just they start telling each other off. It's like, oh, I'm sorry, what do you do besides make balloon animals and all this stuff? Like Tony Stark just goes in on him, and then Dr. Strange is insulting him. And then when they go in the street, Tony Stark is amazing. Like the lines he comes up with are amazing, because when Banner couldn't transform, he's like, you're embarrassing me in front of the wizards, you know? It was hilarious. So I love that. And on the ship, they kept doing it too, man. When Spider-Man was there, and they're still arguing, he's like, the adults are talking, they're still insulting each other.
I was going to say Spider-Man and Doctor Strange, but one I really liked was Rocket Raccoon and Thor.
Thor, you kept calling him a rabbit.
And it's weird, because, you know, usually when you call him anything other than what he is, he usually gets mad.
Yeah, but they thought Thor was a pirate angel with perfect muscles, so that's why he got just all that shit was hilarious. It's like he's like a perfect pirate angel.
Like, him and Star-Lord's interaction was really good, too. Him and Thor.
Yeah.
Even with Thor, was like, what are you doing on my ship? It's like, did you just lower your voice? No, I didn't.
And he starts talking like Thor, too. What are you what are you doing?
That was some good interaction right there.
And, you know, I mean, I did like that the way they flipped them around a little bit too. Cause like they had Strange, they had Spider-Man, they had, then they had the two idiots, you know, Drax the Destroyer and Mantis there. And then, they had Spider-Man too as well. So, you know, kind of like the three, the like pretty smartest people. And then the kind of the four dopiest people. Oh, and then there's Nebula, too.
Yo, when Drax is in there, he's like, how long have you been there?
An hour.
Yeah, my man, that whole part invading the whole space and shit. It's like, my man, what are you doing?
he was eating.
He killed him, man.
All right. Did Thor prove he's like the strongest hero in the Marvel Cinematic Universe by holding that freaking thing open while the sun is beaming through him?
Man, that shit was crazy.
He is a god.
Literally.
That's some crazy feats.
That iris open while concentrated neutron star energy is shooting through him to heat a forge to make him a super weapon. Like,
which was
Stormbringer, by the way.
Which is Brainer Ray Bills.
Bills, yeah.
Man, yep. I lost my motherfucking mind when that happened, man. Stormbringer, you know?
Freaking Peter Dinklage.
Yeah, Peter Dinklage. Yeah. He was like super huge in that.
He was a giant dwarf.
A giant dwarf. You could say dwarf, that's what his race is. You know,
they found a perfect person for him also. What was their dialogue before he went in there? He was like, I'll go and die trying, and then he was like, yeah, that's what it means.
That's what dying means.
Yeah, that's what it means. Yeah, that dialogue was great too. many dialogues,
exactly.
They just knocked it out of the park.
I noticed that, like, one thing about there's the only character that kind of fell a little bit to the wayside is a bit with Cap. He kind of just jumped in a little bit, and I feel like Panther had a little bit more, but they were kind of like the stern ones, like they were like the serious business. Same thing with Bucky. They just got little bits as opposed to the other guys who were kind of actually in. They were kind of holding the line, you know.
Yeah, I thought the same thing too, but I'm kind of fine with them being a little bit set to the side, because the last Avengers movies was focused on Bucky and Captain America. So
I just love he told off Ross. I'm like, General Ross is such a dick.
Yeah, fuck that guy. Yeah, that was good. Yeah, my man Rhodey came back, you know.
Oh yeah. He's walking.
Yeah. He's walking, yeah.
He's got his robot pants on.
Yeah, robot. Robot
pants. And he was spared, man. He was spared.
Yeah.
Go ahead. More favorite interactions.
It's just kind of fun having Rocket and Groot and Thor together, and with Peter Dinklage. I thought that was good stuff. And again, Spider-Man and all the witty guys all put together. I thought that was fun.
I thought what was funny was when they reached to Earth in Wakanda, and Groot was like, "I am Groot," and then Captain America's like, "And I am Steve. I am Steve Rogers."
But the best part was the delivery. The delivery by Chris Evans. He's like, he says it with like such seriousness. He's like, "I'm Steve Rogers."
Yo, he always does that too. Like when it's a scene that he's made to look stupid, he always does that so well. I know that reference, you know, like, yeah. It's great, man. By the way, I like that little scene between Shuri and Bruce Banner. It's like, you know, the two big brains talking to each other.
Oh, when they were talking about how to get the gem out of Vision's head. Yeah. It's like, oh, it's like they were throwing out Star Trek technobabble at each other. And then he's like, oh, why didn't you do this? And he's like, because we didn't think of it.
Yeah, she was scolding back. Why did you think of that? Like, it's so obvious. Like, we didn't think about it.
Yeah. Dude, like, give him a break. It's the Hulk, all right? Like, cut him some slack.
Yeah, that was good. Besides, that was a lot of good stuff.
Besides, if we flashback,
the whole part about
was made, Thor shot him with lightning.
Thor being
like, yeah. Can you say that again, Dana?
I said that Groot was an elective in Thor College.
Yeah. He's like, wait, you understand what he's saying? He's like, yes, we understand what they're saying.
Yes, it was an elective in our college. Like, wait, what? You guys go to college in Asgard? Okay. Sure. You know, by the way, I did like how Groot made like the handle for Thor's weapon, you know, for Stormbringer. Yeah. That was really cool. You know,
he finally got his shit together.
Yeah, because he was playing games. You know, he's like, yo, man,
he's obviously playing a game, playing Defender.
Yes.
And what are they doing in the movie?
Yeah, they're defending. Yeah, my man was playing Fortnite with Drake, you know?
Playing that Nintendo Switch.
Nah, he was playing a portable console.
Yeah, by the way, can I quickly give a shout out to the Iron Spider suit? That thing was fucking badass.
Yeah, man. Oh, when I saw those legs popped out, man. Yeah, oh, my gosh. I wasn't expecting that. That was much better
than the original one.
Agreed. Because I hated that fucking costume in the comics, but I loved it in the film. You know, it was really, really good. All right, let's move on here to what are your favorite action scenes in the movie? There was a lot of them.
The one that, like, I was like, what the f-? Was when fucking Thanos got that fucking, the moon? And just fucking launched
everything. And yanked on. Oh my god, yo.
I was like, that's some fucking One Punch Man shit, man.
Yeah, man. You freaking destroying... And just threw it down on him, and Spider's like, I can't catch all these people.
Yeah, I think that's where they really showed like the superhero aspect of this movie. Everybody was doing something that was just like beyond anything they'd ever done before. Like Iron Man took a chunk of the moon to the face, right? Mm-hmm. Thor held the thing open in the middle of the sun beaming through him, like, yes. You know. Hulk got thrown all the way to Earth from wherever the hell the ship was. Like all that stuff. Like they were like comic book level. Finally, like they were doing all that stuff.
Yeah, there's some crazy feats in this shit.
Yeah, that was like Dragon Ball Z shit happening. You know.
Yeah. Like you said before, like when Thor comes into Wakanda and just wrecks shit, it's like like that's comic book level shit right there, man. Fucking everybody up.
Under the whole breach in Wakanda.
Yeah, that was good.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I like how... Go ahead.
I hadn't thought of that before. That just seems so simple.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And but, I mean, and when Thor comes in with fucking... I mean, they didn't put fucking Led Zeppelin music on it, but man, that shit would have gone perfectly with that.
He does it again. He changes all the music. That's also one thing that happened in the movie, too, is like all the music would switch around a little bit. Depending on what area they were in, they give you a little bit of their themes from previous movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to hear some of Mon or Moth for Thor, just saying. but yeah, I like that scene where, you know, in Wakanda, obviously, the whole thing was crazy, but like that scene where like they had the shields up and the fucking monsters were just throwing themselves at it. It was like, damn.
Killing themselves to get through and then reviving themselves when they get on the other side. I was like, holy shit.
But and then I like how they kind of use that strategy where it's like, okay, these things are spreading out. They're going to try to breach from the back. So let's open these.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, T'Challa being the master strategist, obviously, like, all right, just let them come through, son. You know, fucking all of them up.
See, when your girl Scarlet Witch finally came down and did some stuff. And then the girl was like, Why was she up there the whole time?
Okay, you guys missed like what I think was like the most impressive fight. Okay. Doctor Strange versus Thanos.
Yeah, actually,
I can't believe that anyone didn't mention that because like it was so many things happening, like from his shadow clone ninjutsu when he tried like send like the alternate dimension and Thanos just like punched it. I'm like, holy shit, this guy just punched the dimension.
He like literally made a black hole and he threw it at him.
My favorite part by far is like just before that, when Thanos chokes him, like brings him closer, like he actually warps space time to actually bring him there. Like if you watch the background actually just folds in. I'm like, holy shit, he's just like bending space time. Like this is incredible. Like I just lost my shit. I'm like, nah, this guy bends space time. Like I'll just go home like Wong.
I haven't seen that since
Wong. Like yo, I'm out, son. I gotta take it.
Like, yeah, like he even tried to use the friggin' mirror dimension on him. He threw that shit at him too.
And he's like, no dimension.
No mirror dimension.
Like, oh shit.
Yo, Wong was like, man, I think I left something in the oven. I'll be right back.
Because theoretically, if he could have probably, you know, had something happen, you know, like they could have probably slowed him down if they threw him into the mirror dimension. So
was like, nope,
no mirror dimension here. You know, it's also cool is that because Doctor Strange pretty much used all of his comic book powers. You know, the those red coil things that he uses
you mean the crimson bands of Sidorak?
The crimson bands of Sidorak. There's also another really fun like Doctor Strange joke that happens with Iron Man where he's leaning on that cauldron. And he's like, you're leaning on the blah 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 cauldron. It's like that's a thing from the comic too.
Yeah,
that he uses.
Yeah, that was really good. I like that. Dana, where was your favorite fight scene?
See, the most vicious scene for me was just, it wasn't necessarily a full fight. It was, remember when he just reversed time with the whole vision situation?
Yeah.
And he was just like, nope. I was like, nope. And that whole scene was just incredible. And also, how come Captain America was able to hold him back for like a good 5 seconds with his hand?
That was pretty good.
Well, Captain America is pretty damn strong.
In the MCU, just to nerd out a little bit, in the comics, he is just at like, you know, peak human level strength, right? But in the MCU, he's actually a little bit more than that. He's a little bit stronger than a regular human, you know? So that's why he's able to hold him off for a little bit. You know,
pushing him back.
Yeah, I also did feel Thanos is holding back a little bit at the end.
Oh, definitely.
You know? He was holding back because he could have just went, fuck that, get out of my face. You know, you're only going to turn into bubbles now. You know, he could have done that. I think.
Yeah, he was definitely having fun with them.
Yeah.
Letting them have their old, like, shebang. But yeah, when he was pushing Captain America back, you saw the expression on Thanos' face, like, why is this little nigga this strong? What the fuck?
Yeah.
But he was, like, holding off real good. I think my favorite fight with Thanos is Iron Man. Iron Man was really throwing out a lot of shit at him.
As a matter of fact, now you bring that up, like, this is the most action I've seen Iron Man, like, get a long time, man. Like, wow. Like,
all the way down to his fucking, like, you know, out of armor. Like, he threw everything at him.
They very cleverly inserted the Extremis armor in there.
Yeah.
That was cool. The nano shit. Yeah, that was really good.
But the thing is that you notice he didn't have it installed in his blood.
No, it wasn't blood armor. It was just in a little chest piece. Which
was it Extremis in his bones, like in his bone marrow? I thought that's what it was.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, in his bone marrow. Yeah. But that would be too much for the comic. Imagine seeing the blood come out of him turn into Iron Man. Like, it'd be creepy.
When he first put on the suit, though, I thought that was really cool because when we first saw Stark, he was wearing like this weird looking futuristic hoodie. I'm like, why is he wearing that? I know he always on like some different swag that no one can really like question him on. But why is he wearing this like weird looking hoodie that looks like a freaking Nike sneaker? And then when you see him like pull the hoodie and it turns into the freaking suit, I was like, oh shit, he always on some crazy shit like with the suitcase and Iron Man. What was that?
That's the thing about they're trying to say about Iron Man, that he knows from the thing that he saw in space and that little bit of foreseeing the future section, that he's always trying to put something together Yeah, you know, because he's a, you know, trying to be prepared for something big that's going
to
happen.
Yeah. By the way, not to get too off track, but somebody I saw on Twitter made a good point. It's like Tony was kind of right about the Ultron initiative. Imagine if they had all those Ultrons actually working as intended. That would have been very helpful, you know, at the end. You know.
Oh yeah, it would have been.
So yeah, like you said, he foresees this stuff. He prepares for all this,
which
stuff.
Which is interesting. It's just also it's I don't really, yeah, that didn't they're doing the Iron Man Thanos connection because Thanos did appear in Iron Man first before any other comic. So, you know, they're kind of doing that thing, but there's that whole weird, like, how he's having premonitions of things. That's a weird thing.
Yeah, Thanos did say, like, he understands Stark because he's cursed with knowledge. Mm-hmm. So that was an interesting line.
Yeah,
that was he knew his name.
He knew his name, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I found the line when Thanos was about to when Thanos was about to throw Gamora off the cliff to be like most interesting is that he said that he has already failed before in his quest. I'm like,
yeah, that was interesting.
So it's not the first time he's tried to get the stones together or something like that.
Yeah,
he's tried before.
He said this is I've denied my destiny in the past before, not again. Or something
I was like, okay, this is like, there's a lot more that we don't know about that. Like, shit, just bring out like a Thanos movie, like prequel, please. I want to see that shit.
I would definitely like more backstory on him. Even though we got a decent amount on this one, I would like to see some more. Because I don't think they just would throw that in there and not refer to it in the future, you know?
Yeah, we'll probably get something in the next movie, hopefully. All right, I want to move on to most shocking deaths. A lot of people died in this movie, man. Which one of these deaths left you the most fucked up?
I think we all know.
Uh-huh.
I think we should go to second most because I think our first most is what? Majority of the same?
Come on, Black people. Panther?
Spider-Man?
Spider-Man. Spider-Man is definitely number one.
Yeah, Spider-Man. Right. I mean,
yeah, Spider-Man was more like, it's like, you know, yeah, I was like, I don't feel so good.
Ooh. It's definitely because they really pushed it home. Like, everyone else, they got, like, one line before they, like, you know, disappeared or half a line.
He had main character abilities. He'd last a little longer than everybody else.
That's right. He didn't just vanish.
He was really holding on to that plot armor, man. That plot armor was disintegrating slowly. But he dipped, man. Yeah, I was his second.
Yeah, let's go to the second one, I guess. Because Spider-Man is obviously the most, like, you felt it, man, right here, you know?
Yeah.
It wasn't just, like, heartburn either, you know? You felt that shit in your chest. Yep.
I wasn't, for me, I mean, you know, again, this is granted, I already knew how it all was going to, you know, end. So it wasn't that surprising as to who was going to go. You know, that, well, here's the thing. In the comics, everyone dies. There is nobody left. Like, all the Marvel superheroes are fucking dead.
Yeah, in the end, yeah, everybody
dies. And this one, it was the surprising part was actually who was left alive.
Yeah, and you notice most of the people alive are the old school guys.
It's all the main Avengers. It's the, you know, and I definitely think, and we've seen screenshots of what's happening in the new one. You know, there's going to be, you know, we're going to probably see Ant-Man. In the next
one,
well,
you know,
probably
we'll get to speculation a little bit later, but yeah,
there ain't no speculation.
Yeah, well, speculation to me, I haven't seen them pictures. but the thing is, what I find the funniest, I guess, yeah, funniest one was Black Panther. I'm like, bro, you just got your own movie. Now you're going back to the fucking Wakanda and afterlife. Your father's gonna. I saw that on Twitter. Your father, you know, it's a meme. His father was like, "Damn, bro, how many times are you gonna die in a month?
Here's the thing. How do you know that he's in the Wakanda?
We're going to get to that later. We're going to get to that later. We're going to get to that later. Anyway, so, other deaths.
So who from the, other than the original Avengers survived, that's like kind of big?
Okay, you know, Banner's still alive.
Banner's an original Avenger.
He is an original Avenger.
Yeah. Thor's still alive.
Thor, Captain America, Black Widow.
War Machine.
Iron Man.
And Vision's body is there.
Yeah. The question mark on Clint Barton.
That guy died twice.
Yeah. I think he's going to be back in the next one.
Yeah. But yeah, all the old school guys are there. Go ahead, Dana.
My theory is this. It's called the Avengers. So for me, it would make sense that only they would be left since technically it's their movie.
Yeah.
This isn't a Panther movie. This isn't, you know, Guardian of the Galaxy Infinity War.
Also, Black Panther also is kind of an Avenger. Everybody was an Avenger.
Yeah, but no, but she's talking about the MCU though. She's talking about the MCU though. Yeah, yeah.
The OGs.
Spider-Man got knighted earlier in the movie, and he's still vaporized.
Yeah, he did get knighted. That's right. That was funny, too, the way he knighted him. He's like, all right, you're there.
The original knighted, not comic book, in the movie.
Yeah.
The original. That aerial shot in the first Avengers.
The first wave.
Yeah, yeah, the first wave. Yeah, they're still alive, you know? Yeah, for sure. Any other shocking deaths you guys want to talk about?
The one that irked me a bit, because only because I like the character, was... Drax, because I'm a big Batista fan. So when I saw Drax dip, I was like, damn it. But when go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just going to mention, I'm with you. But the reason was for me that, like, they were getting rid of, like, most of the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
And I was like,
yeah, the only one left was Black Raccoon.
Yeah. So I was like thinking, okay, so I guess they're getting rid of Drax. So fucking Groot and
Gamora died, like, you know.
And then they got rid of Peter Quill. And I was like, oh, shit, they're getting rid of all of them.
Well, nobody cared, right?
Yeah, I think that's a good segue to the next thing. We got to talk about Peter Quill, man. He fucked it up for everybody, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were about to win. That gauntlet was coming off, man.
Well, he ruined his own plan.
Yeah.
I think that was my only irk in the entire movie, was the fact that he came down, said that this shit was his plan, and then he was the one that fucked up his plan.
Yeah.
And then on top of the fact that, Doctor Strange, he said he saw all of these, like, outcomes. Mm-hmm. How did he not see that, you know, part in his outcome?
How do you know that he didn't see that?
I think he did see it.
I think he did see it.
Maybe it was one that he didn't see.
No, I think he did see it, and I think he knew the outcome of it. But the thing is that he didn't tell them, because then they would have known, and they would have fucked it all up.
Yeah, because remember, only one possibility led to victory, and I'm pretty sure everything that happened, Doctor Strange knew, let it happen, because we need this to happen in order for us to win. Understand? Like, because think about this, right? He gave up the Time Stone like nothing. He was like, here you go.
Yeah.
Here you go. Because he knew if he gave him the Time Stone, it's going to eventually lead to victory. It's like basically sacrifice the battle, lose the battle, win the war later. I think that was what's going on there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'll agree with that. I can definitely get behind that, because I was just sitting there like, why did he let that happen? It was like, okay, that makes sense. If he saw the outcome and that was a part of the outcome, then he has to make it play exactly like how that outcome happened. Okay,
and he wouldn't have told anybody. He would have fought as much as he would have fought to make it look as good as possible. But really,
when they were getting it off, he was just in the back, right?
Yeah, he didn't help anything.
Yeah,
he was chilling.
Like, hold on to him. Lasso thing.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah, but he knew what was going on. You know,
he knew what was going to happen.
That's interesting. But yeah, Star-Lord, man. It, regardless of, you know, if he knew what was going to happen, Star-Lord, you still fucked it up, bro.
To be fair, he was grieving. Like,
we understand why he did it.
Come on, a lot of people are grieving over what Thanos did. I don't give him that fucking excuse.
They loved each other. It's love. Like,
man, he ain't even hit it, man. He got a kiss.
How do you know he didn't tap it?
Man? How do you know he didn't?
Well, we don't know. We don't know either way.
Watch Guardians 2. He did it.
Did he? I fell asleep in that movie.
He's like, I fell asleep.
Riku fell. He was late for that part. He didn't see it.
I fell asleep in that movie.
You have to assume they're adults. They probably, you know. You know what I'm saying?
Come on. All right, man.
This ain't like old school comics where they don't
Hey man, this is Disney, son. We under Disney. Ha ha. Mickey Mouse said they ain't do it, right? No, but yeah, Star-Lord, man, you fucked up, bro. You definitely fucked up.
Yeah, I'm not saying that he didn't fuck up, but I understand why he went mad.
Yeah, no, it's totally understandable. Like, he fucked it up, but you understand why. And it was good drama for the movie too. You know, because otherwise the movie would have ended. The movie would have ended.
Yeah.
That's it.
Obviously, yeah, for plot reasons, we understand why that happened. Especially, we understand why a couple other things could have ended the movie, like with the Infinity Stone blowing up with Vision, but it got rewind, or Thor missing the final blow, should have went for the head.
Yeah.
All of those things could have ended it. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, we needed something that would lead to Thanos getting the
snap,
the Infinity Gauntlet. Yeah,
yeah.
Get to the snap point. So,
yeah.
If this is the best they can do, then I'm satisfied.
Oh yeah, I like all these close calls of them almost winning, just getting it off to the point where he just uses his fingers to put the gauntlet back on and punching Spider-Man away. A lot of those, oh, they almost had it every single time. You should have went for the head. Like,
what I don't understand is all the criticisms that I've seen online about, oh, why did Doctor Strange give away the time stone to?
Yeah,
and I'm like, didn't they just go over that the dude went over the 14 million permutations and how only one of them led to them, like, not losing?
Yeah, you know motherfuckers don't pay attention, man.
Yeah, well, yeah, they didn't listen to that. It's like, okay, put two and two together. If he says only one way is going to, you know, there's only one way that they win, what do you think is, what do you think?
You have to assume one of those ways means he has to give up the time stone.
You know? And keep Stark alive.
People are more paying attention to what he said before in the ship to Stark, that he said, if it comes down to you or the time stone, I'm choosing the time stone.
Yeah.
And then he chose, you know, Stark, told him to keep Stark alive. And everyone's like, why did he keep Stark alive? You don't even like Stark like that. And like, y'all not paying attention. Like,
I'm pretty sure Doctor Strange, he was being very honest and sincere when he said that. But then when he saw the outcome, he's like, oh shit, I need to give up this stone, you know? It's so obvious. Why would people are stupid? I'm sorry.
I just don't think they watch or read enough stories.
Yeah, they don't. All right. Another thing I'm going to talk about. What are some of the neat surprises you saw in there? Like just
Red Skull.
Red Skull was a good one.
Red Skull was a good one.
It's always that's like the longest payoff they've had.
Yeah, that's a long one.
I've been like, where is he? And then like, boom, he's there. It's like, this is where he went. Okay, thank you for tying up that loose end that's been just plaguing us for so long. Like, wow.
It's always also, nice.
First Captain America.
Yeah, go ahead, Brian. Yeah,
and also finding out like who made the gauntlet. Like that's always been like one of the things if you have like all these stones immensely powerful, it must be like being handled by something that can contain the power. So how did that happen? It's like, okay, cool. So that's how it happens.
Who made it? And then it also explains why there is a duplicate one inside of a fake one inside of Asgard.
That's right. Good point. No, there is a replica of it in Asgard.
Yeah. What's her name? Hela pushed it over. Remember, she was fake, and she's like, pushed it over.
But how does she know it's fake?
Remember, she's looked at it, and
I just thought that was like a blueprint replica that they would use to make the real one.
No, the one the dwarf had, that was the blueprint. Because
that's the one I thought we were talking about.
Yeah, he had the mold.
No, it's all Ragnarok. She looks at it and she goes fake. And she
because it's been sitting in the background since the first Thor movie. It's an Infinity Gauntlet with all the different jewels in it.
It's not the real thing.
And people are like, wait a minute, how is it that Thanos doesn't have that one on there? And they're like, and then that one, they're just like, she just walks in and she goes, and this is fake and throws it on the floor.
I think one of the surprises is always nice to see your boy Stan Lee, man.
I was about to say that, the Stan Lee one. Haven't you guys ever seen an alien invasion before?
Haven't you seen a spaceship before?
Yeah, it's always nice to see
him. Also, why would you let, you know, I'm going to say this, like, you know, Stan Lee's like 80 years old. They're letting an 80-year-old guy drive a car.
I like the dialogue that happened a little bit before. That too. Hey, make a distraction. We're all going to die!
That was funny.
Yeah, and Manny, they could have had like a truck, you know, in front of that bus driving it, you know. Mm-hmm. I doubt they're letting an old man drive.
No, they, you know what they do? They say they, for Stan Lee's roles, they just film them all at the same time.
Yeah.
So at the same time as he filmed the Doctor Strange one, he did this one and then he did a bunch of the other ones.
Yeah.
They know what's going to happen.
Yeah. What were some other stuff that happened in there? Because, you know, the movie had lots of little Easter eggs here and there.
I like that. It's not really, you know, I just like that they let Doctor Strange be even more Doctor Strange.
Yes. Yeah, he was full on Doctor Strange in this one.
He's like, hi, I'm Peter Parker, and I'm Doctor Strange. We're using fake names. Well, I'm Spider-Man.
Oh, we're using fake names. Yeah.
Because nobody understands Star-Lord's movie references, and he says Footloose, and Spider-Man goes, oh, I know Footloose. And he's like, is it still the greatest movie ever made? And he's like, it was never the greatest movie.
By the way, by the way, for shocking deaths, Manny, I'm surprised you didn't say your boy Heimdall, man. He died mad quick.
No, I knew that everybody was going to die, but it's sad that they don't get... Yo, man, you got Idris Elba in there, and he just shows up for 2 seconds, dead.
And honestly, for all the...
No, I'm just going to say he deserved his death. Remember, he wanted out of the whole MCU because he wasn't happy with his role because he wanted to do more. So I cheered when he died. It took them long enough. He should have stopped him. He's ungrateful. Let him die. They should have cut his head off. But that's just me.
Damn. Well, I mean, the thing is that, like, he does deserve a better role, a little bit more role in the films. And the same thing with
Terrence.
And the same, and then where the hell is Lady Sith, man?
Ooh, yes, she's been gone. Yeah.
There's 67 characters. She will be in there.
Yeah, because she wasn't even in Ragnarok. I was asking.
Wasn't even in Ragnarok. And the girl did Thanos kill what's her face too? The friggin' Valkyrie.
We have to assume he did.
You know, we didn't see a lot of those supporting guys from Ragnarok make it. Yeah, he choked out Loki right there. I really felt bad for Loki, as much of a dick as he is. Man, Thanos just choked him to death right there.
Stupid. Why in the world do you think you can all of a sudden just stab the man out of the blue? And everyone can see the knife, by the way. It's not like he cleverly hit it. It was stupid. He deserved to die. I'm sorry. And the ship is split in two. So remember, there's going to be Valkyrie, Meek, and Gorg, is it?
Oh, the Rock dude. Oh, yeah, they're in the other ship. That's right. Yeah, yeah.
The Rock guys. So, and not James Gunn, the Waikiki guy, the guy who directed Thor.
Waititi.
Yeah, why?
Would you call me?
A tiki torch. He said that they're going to expand Meek and Gorg, the rock guy in the little monster thing. They're getting expanded characters, so roles. So that's good.
Yeah, the
bug. Yeah, they're another Thor film. I thought they were done with them.
No, they're not done with them.
Well, there's two unannounced Phase 4 movies, and people have been speculating that they could do another solo Iron Man movie or another solo Thor movie or something, because there's two slots that are just nobody knows what they are.
Interesting. All right, let's get into the fun stuff here. What are some predictions that you guys have for Avengers 4?
Nebula is going to take the Infinity Gauntlet.
Well, she did it in the comic, though.
Yeah, that's what she did.
So is that a prediction or just like a I want this to be, you know?
No, but here that's more of just like maybe it'll happen, but I do, my actual prediction is that we're gonna actually see a full forced Avengers, classic Avengers with Ant-Man and Vision and all of them all together teaming up against the final Thanos. That's my
So how, because I didn't read the comics, so I'm assuming like how everyone's gonna come back.
I could tell you. Yeah, that's the thing. Would that be a spoiler?
Yeah, would it be a spoiler?
Well, see, that's the thing. It kind of like borders the grounds because technically, according to my rules, it's fine because the comic books have been out for so long.
Like, I was born like 3 months before that comic came out.
We're at the same age, Riku, and I like read it like 3 times. So. What's yours?
Manga, bro.
Because we've been in that manga, bro.
Yeah. So it's kind of is a potential spoiler, but those that are invested, they probably know the outcome either way.
Yeah.
So
I'm gonna say
since this is called the spoiler cast, give people that are watching spoiler for the next spoiler.
This is an extra spoiler.
This is a spoiler within a spoiler. This is your chance to leave or stop listening. Go ahead, Tom.
All right. So basically, everybody that died is not actually dead. They're all inside the Soul Stone.
The Soul Stone.
Yeah, I didn't read it, and I could guess that.
Yeah. And that's where the theory is. That's where the end of the film is, where Thanos is standing in that kind of empty-looking location with the little kid Gamora.
Yeah, that she's in the Soul Stone.
Everyone who died is in the Soul Stone.
And that's including, like, Loki and
Because I don't know about that.
No, because he killed him with his own hand. Yeah. I don't know about that.
Like, Idris Elba ain't going to be in there, you know?
She counts because he had to exchange her for the Soul Stone, so she could count.
Yeah. Good point.
But Loki and Idris Elba, no. I think they're dead.
Stephen Heimdall, no.
And half the Asgardians, they went to Valhalla or wherever they go.
Valhalla, yeah. That's right. Dana, what were you going to say?
No, one Loki is dead. Yeah. Vision is not dead, but his body is dead. But because Shuri was able to upload him into probably their computer system or technology or whatever it is. But Loki is dead. So can we please stop resurrecting Loki?
Yeah, I have a theory, by the way. I think you're going to get the white Vision in the next movie. You're going to
rebuild him. Even kind of did a little bit of that too, where
he's probably going to have like some cool Wakandan shit. You know, sure, he's going to fix them up.
He's going to fix them up. He's going to fix them good.
So, yeah, I think they're going to get that white Vision. That's going to be dope.
The question is, can an android really die if it was never alive?
He's broken right now. He's not dead. He's broken.
also, let me end this. The same thing happened in the comic too, where like Thanos ripped a hole in him.
Yeah, that's right. By the way, Master Shake says, do you think Adam Warlock is going to be involved in the next movie?
I was just about to say that. They introduced him in Guardians 2, so yes, he's going to be a part of
Avengers. Well, 4. The thing is, he would have to be in Guardians 3, because that's where they say that they're going to be supposedly introducing Adam Warlock.
Hmm. Yeah, but he was a post-credit thing in the second one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they showed his chamber as like, whatever.
Yeah, I kind of don't think they're going to have Adam Warlock.
I think that's going to be the big difference. Like, Adam Warlock was the big thing to actually defeat Thanos. I don't think it's going to be him this time around.
You don't think he'll be a part of the fight, though?
No, I don't think so. No.
All right, I'm going to disagree with you.
I think he'll be a part of the fight, but I don't think he'll be like...
I don't think he's integral. Yeah, but I think he will
be there.
I think
he's going to be a teammate.
The thing is that it all really depends on when the next Guardians of the Galaxy is going to come. If it comes after... then what do you like? Are you going to have some sort of like prequel Guardians of the Galaxy?
Everything before this prequel, Captain Marvel's happening in the 90s. Mm. Ant-Man and Wasp has to be happening before all this shit.
Yeah.
And so there's Guardians 3 is slated to release before the part 2 of this. So
then can you have like a Guardians 3 if like all of them are dead? But
no, it's happening before. The events of this
one. Okay, so is that what they're saying? So that's probably the reason why Groot looks older in this one?
Oh, well, they showed him as a teenager.
The end credits thing, yeah.
I found it funny when Groot was like, I am Groot. Watch your language.
Yeah. By the way, I want to give a shout out to Brett, who showed up very late tonight. What's going on, Brett?
What's up, everybody?
Oh, yeah. Shit, it's my nigga Brett.
All right.
Wait a minute. If they call back and do... So you think they're going to call back and do prequels for all the next movies? Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, one of them is a definite prequel. The Captain Marvel one is a prequel. The Ant-Man movie probably takes place a little bit before that. But correct me if I'm wrong here. I was under the assumption those were the next two movies, and then we're going to get the next Avengers movie. Are there three movies in between?
I think Volume 3 of Guardians is going to release before.
Okay, because remember, the next Avengers movie comes out next year.
Yeah. So does Guardians Volume 3.
Interesting. Mm.
So that begs the question, why did they release this movie now? If they're then just going to go back and tell a whole bunch of prequels, why didn't they tell those stories leading up to this story?
Well, the Captain Marvel one, you kind of need to introduce her before she just shows up in the fourth movie, so that kind of makes sense. The Ant-Man one, I'm with you on that one. Like, you could have made that beforehand, but who knows? Marvel usually has these things planned out. Go ahead, Dana.
You need to introduce the quantum realm.
Yeah, they do need to do a bunch of shit. Yeah, so I think these movies are necessary. Yeah,
help them get out of the Infinity Stone.
By the way, Ant-Man and the Wasp comes out this year. I think that's the last Marvel MCU movie to come out this year.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Two. Captain Marvel, March of next year, and then Avengers 4.
Okay, so I was right. Yeah, those two movies.
Next year.
Yeah, and I think those two movies are going to establish something that's important for the fourth Avengers movie. You know,
and Spider-Man 2.
Spider-Man.
Oh, Homecoming 2. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or whatever they call it. That's what I heard.
Is Homecoming 2 next year?
Yeah.
Damn, that's fast shit.
I saw. It said 2019, and I'm like, Well, that was that 2 years from now. I was like, no, we're fucking 2018. Goddamn.
Damn, that's wow. That's fast shit.
He already probably filmed that film already.
yeah, probably.
All right, what are the predictions you guys have? Brett, why don't you regale us with some predictions you have for the next Avengers movie?
For the next Avengers movie?
Yeah, the one that's coming out next year, the sequel to this one.
Hmm.
You're stumped.
Don't just wait on me.
Yeah. The world is waiting.
Yeah, well, Brett, we already answered the question. Now we're waiting for you.
Oh, okay. I mean, I feel like it's just going to be a huge retcon that drives us back to net zero, honestly, which is the reason I'm not disappointed with the movie. I'm just disappointed that we're just piloting ourselves into the same trap that we've been in in comics for years, where no death really matters and none of this really makes sense and nothing's permanent and it can be just undone at the drop of a hat. Well, you've kind of seen that before. I think this is going to be the big introduction to it. And everybody's just ready to swallow that pill, so I guess that's fine. But
hey, you could be sure that Loki and Heimdall are dead.
Yeah,
I mean, that's at least I'm okay with. I'm happy as long as, and like, you know, maybe even Vision too. Like, I'm fine if some characters stay dead and you say, okay, we're only retconning the actions of the Infinity Gauntlet. Just literally just that. But I feel like there's so much money to be made here that they're not really going to throw away any characters. And I was hoping that they would kind of stand by a rule that, you know, because they don't want to lose the impact of these moments. But I kind of gathered from this movie, like the last bit where everybody is kind of, you know, turning into dust, I felt like that would have been better portrayed in a more group scene, because after a minute, it just seemed like an overly comically long death sequence where everybody got their own shot and everybody disappeared. I know a lot of people were like, oh shit, him and him too and him too. But after a minute, to me, it just seemed to go on for, you know, way too long. It's kind of like, you know, if you shoot somebody in the stomach and they drop on the ground, they go, and die, then it's okay. And then they're like, oh, no, and then you go on that and keep doing that for 30 seconds. You're like, okay, this is getting a bit weird. Like, not even necessarily funny, but it just feels like this is drawing on too long and it's losing some of the impact. So I don't really think that gives me the impression that Disney really isn't about the impact of losing these characters. They don't want to come at you like Game of Thrones. They want you to love these characters. I mean, they want you to love them for a long time and buy all the merchandise and keep seeing the movies and everything like that. Like, it's pretty clear where their priorities are. So all that being said, I feel like it's kind of inevitable that we're going to set back to neutral. That we're just going to kind of go back to the point where, you know, now this big event is over and now everybody's kind of back where they started. And now they can all have their own movie series again. And we'll move on to the next big thing. It's just going to follow in the footsteps of Marvel. And the problem with that is that my same beef with Marvel, where none of this fucking matters. None of it really makes sense. And I'm sure if, you know, you're in it for the you know, the ride, that's fine. And I'm sometimes in it for the ride too, but what's up?
So let's say this scenario happens, because this is my prediction for the next movie. Let's say Iron Man and Captain America sacrifice themselves
in
the next one for everyone else. Do you think do you think that would be justified? In a way?
To a certain extent. And I was actually wondering about that. I was kind of wondering whose death they were going to pull on this one, because I know that they're having trouble getting Robert Downey Jr. To be able to – they can't keep doing Iron Man. They can't afford to do it. And Robert Downey Jr. doesn't want to do it. So I know that there are people who want out, and this would have actually been a good opportunity to take them out and not bring them back. So I guess, sure, if you establish in canon that people die and they stay dead, I don't even need some, like I said, I don't need Game of Thrones shit, but just the idea that a death matters, that a sacrifice matters, and that you can't just kill off and resurrect these characters on a whim with very flimsy, you know, anecdote, you know, a lot of shit that Marvel does, like, you know, like, he's back to life. Why? Because somebody wished on a storm cloud when it was highly I don't fucking know. He's alive. Deal with it. And as long as they don't do that. So if you show me that death happens in this world and it sticks, then you can still have those heavy impact moments, and I'm a happy guy.
Yeah, but again, like I told you, just remember, in the original source of material, they were all brought back too. So you can't just completely abandon that. Understand?
No, you can't completely abandon that. And I think a lot of people should be brought back. But just like I told you, that was the beginning of the end, in my opinion, for comic books being taken seriously. Like, in my opinion, at least, the death of Superman was the greatest abortion to ever happen to comics, because to my child brain, the way that I experienced it, because I was kind of a DC kid back then, that was the beginning of death doesn't matter. None of this fucking matters. None of it is grounded in anything. You can just weirdly resurrect characters based on sales numbers and really pay no attention to the narrative.
Yo, Riku. We got to get this man bred into some manga, man.
I was just about to say that. You know, anything other than Dragon Ball.
You think I love some manga? I love that shit. Yeah, that's one of the...
But let's not get too sidetracked.
That's after the show. Yeah, the Otaname
Otaname just happens at the drop of a hat.
Whenever Reek was here, it happens. But I just do... Actually, I was about to almost throw this thing off track, but let's not do that. Anyway, because we're about to wrap this motherfucker up. So what are some final thoughts you guys have? What is something that you think we missed during this podcast that you want to address real quick about the movie? I'm going to go down the line here. Riku, anything you want to just bring up before we wrap it up?
Just talking about the whole Stark thing. I really thought that was Stark's way of leaving. Because like you said, they can't... Well, I think what, Brett, you said they can't afford to do Iron Man. They could definitely afford it, you know, from a money standpoint. But I understand what you mean as far as like...
No, they can't afford Robert Downey Jr. forever because he makes exponentially more money in each movie that he's in, which is why they're trying to not put him in movies so that they can afford to have him in movies later.
I thought Robert said he wanted out anyway.
He does want out. He does want out. And so, like, there's no incentive for him to not change his contract. So the fact that, like, they have to give him, like, 20% more each movie than the last movie, like, they made this contract when they weren't expecting the whole MCU thing to take off. And because of that, Robert Downey Jr. is just making a stupid – it's like the whole Friends scenario. Like, Friends eventually got canceled, not because it was unpopular, but because each cast member was making, like, $11 million a year. Because I didn't expect that shit to go on for however many years it did. I'm no Friends expert. I don't fucking know this shit. But they weren't expecting it to go on forever and each actor get paid exponentially more. And they're sort of more like, dude, they're paying these people $11 million like an episode or some stupid shit like that. Like, it was an insane amount of money. And the same thing with Robert Downey Jr. Like, they can afford him now, but then they have to pay 20% more the next time. 20% more the next time. 20% more than I don't know what the exact details of his contract are. But I know that it gets more...
I understand what you're saying. They're making a shit ton of money, but every single time they're paying this nigga more. So, yeah, I understand what you mean. But yeah, more.
So eventually you're gonna pay this motherfucker like $95 million per movie, and you just can't do that.
Yeah, it's crazy. But yeah, I just wanted to talk about that. But no, that's just me.
All right, Manny, final thoughts?
No, I don't have any final thoughts. You know, but it's good. It was a good ride. You know, can't wait to hopefully they have a decent Blu-ray.
Dana, final thoughts? Anything you think we missed?
Oh, yay, I can speak. Actually, I think people are so caught up on, oh my God, the deaths are going to be undone. Nothing really matters. What you fail to understand is that it is going to impact each character no matter what. I see Tony as bearing the hugest weight of it all. He already broke in Iron Man 3. Or was it? I think it was 2 or 3. Either one. And they showed him with that anxiety and the PTSD thing. Him now is going to be a mess between what happened with Peter and the whole thing with Strange, watching Strange just up and go, and then him almost losing his life again. Two things. So you're going to have that. Also, when everyone, you know, when they go back to the next movie, you're going to see, I'm predicting either Pepper Potts is going to be dead. So is Happy. So him dealing with that. And also it touched on, in Civil War, they touched a little bit on him creating, remember Barf, which was basically his like emotional companion where he had that augmented reality to help him deal with grief. I see that being used as well. And the characters that do remain, I think they will be psychologically affected by this. And you're going to see the aftermath of what happens, even if they bring them back. If you die, you're going to still be a little psychologically, you know, psychologically touched behind that as well. So I think it's going to be going in that direction a little bit as well. Also, with Thanos, you're going to see he already was like, you know, I don't really want to do this, but I have to. This is my destiny. But as we all seen, that cost of destiny and the cost that he has, and it's weighing on his conscience. I do see Gamora being a huge part in the next installment of, like, you know, this is what you wanted. Look what happened. And even when he came out at the end and he was looking at everything that happened, he wasn't wearing like, yay, I'm proud of myself, big type of smile. It was for me like, I'm finally accomplished, but this still broke my heart. So I see him struggling with that as well. So yeah, I think it's way more than, oh my God, they just brought him back and it means nothing.
Yeah, because even in the comics, like, everybody knew what happened. They remember dying. They it's not like, okay, everything's reset now.
No one's
on some DBZ shit.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
No one in the Soul Stone, you know, having parties.
Yeah, right. All right, Chris, man, final thoughts.
It was a very well done movie. I think it was very, very satisfying to see the culmination of like 10 years and 18 films happen, and they did it pretty damn well. I give them all the credit in the world. So I'm looking forward to see how they end it, though. You know, I was, yeah. Everybody was leaving the theater sad. I was like, I read the comics, I ain't so sad as everyone else. Motherfuckers.
if our friend Omar was there, he'd be like, no, it's not over.
He would have brought the comic.
I brought the comic for the movie to sign.
All right, Carlos, final thoughts. Anything you think we missed?
No, I'm just glad that they pulled this thing off, man. It doesn't look like it was easy to do, man. And the fucking Russo brothers, like, these dudes, I can't wait for the next Avengers movie. I just can't wait what the hell they're going to do after this. Cause man, that track record is impeccable, man. Three of the top five or top 10 fucking MCU movies are made from the fucking Russo brothers.
That's crazy, man.
And this movie, man, I can't wait to see this. Like Manny mentioned, the fucking Blu-ray, watch the shit on my TV. Yo, man, this shit is going to be crazy, man. And for me, I know this is kind of premature, but fuck it. This is my favorite fucking MCU movie.
Keep it real, son.
That's what I was going to ask you guys.
Yeah, man.
Where's this rank?
Number one, without question. Without question.
Number one.
I had to think about it because, man, the salt was heavy for me. But yeah, it is.
As soon as those credits started rolling, I'm like, that's it. This is the shit right now. I didn't even have to see the final ending credit. I'm like, this is it right here. It's fucking insane.
Yeah, I can definitely agree with that, especially since I had to sit down and think about what was my initial number one Avengers one. Oh yeah, this blows Avengers ones out the water. That's okay, well, this is number one.
And to me, this movie is Avengers 1, but on steroids, because Avengers 1, you had 5 movies that led up to that. This had 18 movies that led up to it. It was way crazier, you know?
It's like Avengers 1.
It's like Avengers 1, but better.
But better. All right, Brian, final thoughts, man.
I have actually quite a few final thoughts. First of all, like, I love the Black Order. Like, anytime that those guys were on screen, I'm like, this is amazing. Because essentially, they were just like villains in like their own right, in like their own films, but just together at the same time. And you've seen them like play off each other and like team up differently. Like sometimes you had like the psychic dude and the big guy, or you had the chick and the other guy, and then they swapped around. It's like, yeah, it's like they feel like villains should be. Like they're teaming up, they're switching around and all sorts. They even have plans as well that they execute well. Like they drew out like Wanda out. RIP to Wanda. Like, I was sad when she died, because I'm like, now that she's gone, like, you're gonna miss, like, there's not much mystic arts going on, so it's like, fuck, they can't use like those powers against Thanos. So I was like pissed. But anyway, I love the Black Order. One thing that we didn't touch on was the relationship between Vision and Wanda. Like, I thought that was like really well, because they've hinted at it for quite a long time, and now we actually see it in fruition, in that they're hiding out in Edinburgh. They're like off the radar, you know, they are falling in love and all sorts. But I thought that was pretty cool.
Oh, by the way,
tiny scene, but well worth it.
Gonna interject real quick. They also did that whole Black Widow Bruce Banner reunion too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh,
even
shit.
Even if it was only for a second.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of wanted that to be a little longer, to be honest.
Yep.
Yeah. But,
hey. Just one of those little Easter eggs
in the movie, Tony.
What happened?
So I kind of felt like there were a lot of those moments in the movie.
Yeah, no, that was the only one. The other ones, you know, pretty well-rounded. Go ahead, Brian. Other thoughts?
I do have two small gripes, as I said to Tony, but they are incredibly minor to the point where one of them is excusable. The other one, I don't think, is as excusable. I'll start off with the one that is excusable. The whole fact that they were just beating you around the head that Thanos will kill half the galaxy, no, half the universe with a click of his fingers. I really didn't like how they kept on like just beating you over the head again and again and again. And I feel like even some characters, I don't know how they knew that Thanos would do that, since they didn't know his plan. Like,
yeah, that's a good point.
I think, was it, there were some people on Earth that knew his plan that shouldn't have known his plan. So hence I was like, okay, Gamora makes sense, because again, she's the daughter of Thanos. She knows his whole mantra. But then there were some people on Earth, I can't remember who it was, that just knew. I think it was Wanda that knew us one that.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah. Didn't Banner tell him about the plan? Like, later on Earth?
You may be reaching slightly with that one, in the sense of, like, what Thanos told Banner then and there. So hence, I'm like, yeah, I just felt like... I just felt like everyone was just like, yes, he's going to kill half the universe with the snap of his fingers. It's like, no, that's like the climax of the ending. You know, like, you don't meant to like tell us that. You meant to like leave it and let us like wonder like what the hell's going on. So I felt that if they had taken that out, it would have made it a better film. But I understand why they put it in there. Because again, for the people that don't know, the people that have not read the comic books, and plus the people that don't know what's going on, they have at least an idea of like, okay, this is the bad guy's like end goal. So the good guys are going to stop him from doing that. So hence, when it does happen, they know that, okay, he snapped his fingers, half people are dead. That is fair enough. But the one thing I just could not stand was the music. I feel like the MCU films don't have all that good soundtracks. Like,
no, I mean, with the exception of like...
What?
Like, yeah, one or like, two of them? Like, yeah, the soundtracks aren't all, yes, that, kind of weak. Aren't all that...
To be fair, though, most movie soundtracks are forgettable. Let's just be honest, you know.
I still remember the Nolan Batman films.
Like, I don't. Like, those were forgettable, really? Too. Yeah, I can't actually. Now that you're mentioning, I can't remember the last movie that I'm like, oh my god, the soundtrack's amazing. Most of the soundtrack just
Guardians of the Galaxy and Thor Ragnarok.
Because they had licensed music.
Yeah, I don't count those.
Movie because there was nothing wrong with the soundtrack. Even at the very end when they did theme, it made it real somber. I was just watching a different movie.
It was recycled, and I didn't feel anything was like different and popping about it. Like, I'm like one of the guys that like has, yeah, I have like a soundtrack of like movie themes that I love, and it's on my Spotify, so you guys can go and check it out. I have stuff from Batman v Superman in there, from Man of Steel, even have stuff from The Amazing Spider-Man. Have stuff from Interstellar and all sorts. The only thing I have from Avengers is the Avengers theme, and that's it.
That's the only song I remember from this movie. But again, yeah. I don't remember the soundtracks of most movies, so I can't really count that. You know,
I just didn't think it was all that good. Like,
Tony? What?
Like Star Wars, Indiana Jones.
No,
like,
you're not right. Talking about those.
I'm not talking about. I'm talking about current movies, not old movies. School movies. Yeah, not old school movies. So those had good soundtracks back in the day. You know.
Yeah, so I just felt that was a bit of a letdown. Because again, like, I love me a great score. And that, for me, would push the film to absolute perfection.
By the way, most people can't remember scores that are not made by John Williams. Let's just be real.
You know?
To be fair, like, most of my songs that I like are from Hans Zimmer. So.
Wow, interesting.
Hans Zimmer, yeah. Or you could say Danny Elfman. Well. He makes some pretty good soundtracks.
Yeah. I don't know, I just didn't think it was all that great, which is... really annoying because no one's really talking about it, but I guess.
No, Brian. Let me ask you a very quick question. Do you mean it wasn't good? Because you're being kind of British about it. Do you mean it wasn't good or it was unremarkable?
It was milk water. It was just bland.
Milk toast, man.
Like, it wasn't bad. It wasn't good. It was just there to be there. It's like it should have been better. Like, given the quality of everything else, okay.
So you're not necessarily directly criticizing it, you just expected more.
Well, I am criticizing it because it was just not great. It was just average at best. You know, like, and the problem is that because everything else was so great. I mean, CGI, acting, scripts, action scenes, everything else was like on that high level. I felt like this should have also been on a high level with it.
I didn't enjoy the sound.
All right, I don't want to keep going down this rabbit hole. All right, Brett, final thoughts on the movie.
Let me think here. Did anybody even see this movie in 3D?
Yes,
no,
I did.
Didn't bother.
No.
I didn't get to see this movie in 3D, but I did get to see the previews in 3D, and I'm looking forward to actually seeing it in 3D. But one thing that I don't think anybody's touched on. Marvel/Disney are doing a fantastic fucking job on their 3D effects, at their creating depth of field, at their use of focus for directing the eye. I mean, I know it's really minimal things, but I'd feel like Manny, of all people here, would be able to notice that kind of thing.
No, so far the ones that I've seen, with the exception of Doctor Strange, all the other ones are just kind of mediocre.
No, yep. All the other ones are mediocre. Doctor Strange is really good. This one, previews for it made it look like the CGI or the 3D was done really well, like better.
I seen it in 3D the first time. It was all right. There were a couple of scenes that were like really great, but the most part, I don't rate it.
Brian, I gotta ask you about the 3D. This one,
yeah. And the one scene that got me is like a really quick scene that you won't even like. You guys don't remember seeing it, but it did happen. Is the part when there's like a planet and it goes like through the rings of the planet. That was by far like the best like 3D sequence, because it felt like the rings were actually like in actual like three-dimensional space.
Here's what I gotta ask you about the 3D, Brian. Yeah. This will make me go and see it, because I'm going to see it on Friday. If this is in 3D, when Thanos yanked parts of the moon and threw it at them, was that in 3D? Yeah,
I was just wondering that.
Yeah. All right. Well, fuck. I'm sold.
I think it was 3D, man.
Let's fucking go.
All right, Brett, continue.
I need to watch this shit again.
I thought it was a beautiful movie. Like visually, it was one of the more impressive Marvel movies that I've seen. Avengers always does a really good job of that. The last Avengers movie it almost did it too much. There were these points where like it kind of like slow-moed in the sequence. You're like, okay, I get it. And as a fan of comic books and that kind of thing, like I appreciate that composition, but it's too perfect. It just falls into the uncanny valley, and it's a little weird for me. I think that this movie really, it nailed the, you know, it was gorgeous without looking like it was trying too hard to be gorgeous. And I think that's really hard to do. So just visually, the movie was just pure fucking eye candy. The colors, the effects, the way the pans and the zooms and all the camera shots were on fucking point. I still have a little bit of problem with some of the narrative pacing, but one thing in particular is, again, how the very end of the movie, I felt like they focused a lot on each character, and they didn't make it feel as much of as much of an event as I would have liked. You know, I felt like more, you know, mass shots of people disappearing would have kind of given more of the impact that I was personally looking for. But I get it. You want to draw on each person deserves their own time. And, you know, nobody wants to get left out. Everybody has a favorite, and they want to make sure that favorite is the only one on the screen. And I kind of get that. But at the same time, we all know that you're not saying goodbye to these characters forever. So, you know, a longing, you know, farewell isn't really necessary. And I would have gone more with the impact of, you know, seeing a lot of people disappear than going the more kind of emotional longing route that they decided to go. Also, I fucking hate where they ended it. I get why they left it there, but it's just a really unsatisfying way to leave the cliffhanger. And I'm not really sure what you could have done better, but ending it just right there. And I know why they did it. I know it was this big dramatic moment and it ended. It was supposed to feel very still because it was kind of like a longing or a memorial. It was, you know, everything was quiet. This bad thing had happened. Oh my God, the bad guy has won. I get it. But at the same time, it kind of felt to me like the way that I left when I saw the first Hobbit movie. Like, I mean, that's great. I know there's more coming. I just don't feel like – I feel like we just got to the big climax of the story and then just kind of put it on pause for 2 years. And I know it's technically a resolution, But we all know that this is not the full story. And in the context of the full story, this is essentially the climax, or one of the big climactic moments where you introduce the big problem. So it just feels like a weird place to leave the movie off for me. And I get that they're following after the books, but it didn't feel as satisfying as it could have. Maybe if it had been this grandiose kind of like, oh my God, look how the world has changed. And they've really pinned down the narrative of how that whole world has changed, instead of focusing on the micro of here's each character departing, maybe I would have felt better about that. So maybe it's a combination of, you know, really having the micro narrative on each character and then leaving it off. I just felt like it could have hit harder. But that being aside, it's still an amazing movie, and I don't want to give anybody the impression that I didn't absolutely love the shit out of this movie. And I'm seeing it like 3 more times this week, so you know, I'm not pissing in the Cheerios.
Damn, Brett, why'd you hate this movie?
Right? Yeah, yeah, I hate to see a movie you liked.
Yeah, all the criticism. I thought the whole ending, I felt it was like a mid-season finale.
Yeah, that's what I felt like too. That ending was perfect, man. I loved the way.
You like that for a movie, though?
Yeah, it was fucking excellent, man. Because I know part two is coming next year. You know what I'm saying? It's fantastic. And
see, Brett, yeah. I would be feeling like you if we didn't know. If we were one of those, you know, movie only guys that don't know, like that we're getting a part two, and because there was a lot of people in the theater when that shit ended, they're like, "That's it!" They like the entire theater was like, "Oh." I was like, yeah.
Basic look up the trailer and everybody knew it was part one. Or, I don't know, Google. I don't understand why people are expecting everything to be thrown in the movie.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. It's stupid.
People always underestimate how ignorant the masses are.
Yo, they've been telling you there's going to be a two-parter since before Age of Ultron came out, you know?
It even had a title at some point.
Yeah, it had Infinity War Part 1. You know, maybe they should have kept it for the stupid people.
They really should have kept it for the stupid people.
That's not where I'm coming from.
Yeah, like I remember this reminds me of the first Lord of the Rings movie. People are like, that's it. I'm like, God, really? Really? You know there's 3 books, right? It's stupid. But anyway, we're not going to go down the rabbit hole. We're going to end this shit right now. So I want to thank everybody for checking us out. If you want us to do more of these spoiler alerts for movies, let us know. We don't know when the next one would be, but let us know if this one does well. We'll base it off of that. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, I want to... What happened, Manny?
Maybe we'll do one for Ant-Man and the Wasp. Who knows?
We shall see.
Captain Marvel.
All right. I'm not going to go.
I think Deadpool.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But yeah, no filler shit. So once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
I'll see you later, guys. Don't forget to watch us this Thursday on Throwdown.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Man, this Infinity War movie, and we got Batman v Superman. I can die a happy man. Later, guys. Man.
Brian Manjoma.
Apparently, this movie made almost as money as Justice League did in its entire run in one weekend.
Son.
So, I feel sorry for those like DCU fans right now. They must be just salty as fuck.
Sarah Torrance, you out.
You know? Oh, man. Brett Murdoch.
It's been real party, people.
Dana Abercrombie.
Hi, just a quick update thing. This movie is gross to make more than the entire DCU.
Oh, shit.
So, yeah. Damn.
All right. And Riku-san 1.
Yo, man. Thanks for having me. This is a great spoiler cast. Final Fantasy VII stream later this week, guys. Game night. Throwdown. Yeah. It'll be my first time running through the game. So, slide through.
Yeah, there you go, people. Little surprise. We'll tell you more on Throwdown Thursday, man. So we'll see you, men, later.
See you, guys.
Peace. Jesus.